Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. This is Mitch, Matthew Bird.
Hello.
Bradley DeMunbrun.
Hello.
So, it could have been real easy just to put out one of the previous podcasts and just say, you know what, just listen to the same old misery time and time again.
But the thing is, though, I got a text from Jeremy today and it just said, you know, if we don't pick up our podcast performances, he's going to ship us out to Oklahoma City. But it won't be a trade because the Grids podcast is shit and they don't want that up
there. There'd have to be cash involved, yeah, players to be named later.
Proper transfer.
Well, we'll get to shipping people off to Oklahoma City, but I want to start with some good news. I want to announce, if you were following on Twitter today, you saw the new member of the St. Lulligan's This Is Silly podcast. Sammy is our new podcast dog, and sometimes Matt brings his kids because he needs somebody to watch the kid. And this time I brought my daughter, who's never once expressed any interest in the podcast.
And mind you, she's 16.
15, yeah. And but she's just here to play with the dog, so
I can't say I blame her.
So we're not even getting Sammy's best work down here. He's upstairs, you know.
To be fair, he's just a puppy.
That's
and
true.
He's chewing on everything. And if we had him down here, you'd hear me or Bird or you just, ow, shit, stop it. So
those little puppy crocodile teeth, man, are sharp.
Oh, they're vicious.
But that's the good news out of the way.
He's a photogenic little bastard.
The good news is nothing to do with soccer whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I do have another bit of good news. Our charity du jour so far this year, we've raised over $3,600.
Fantastic.
So we're averaging a little more than $500 a game this next week. An important one for Mitch and me and Matt Brown and a few others who remember our friend Casey. One of the original guys in the chicken head beat up van that we used to bring to AC St. Louis games. Our friend Casey passed away a few years ago from colon cancer. And so this week's charity du jour is for the Colon Cancer Alliance. I know a couple other members have been affected by this disease in various ways, and I don't want to tell their stories, but one of them donated a flag, the St. Louis FC St. Louis style flag, signed by the entire team this year, including Angulo. So that's a collector's item. We're going to raffle that off, and our charity du jour bucket will be for Colon Cancer Alliance. So let's keep raising money and doing well in that aspect.
Yeah, this is a personal one. I mean, this is...
A lot of you guys, the older people who were around those first couple of years, remember Casey. I think Casey had passed even by the time you came along, Matt.
I never met him. Never met him.
But... A young man, very young man, personal friend, Mitch and Matt Brown, much better friends than I even. But we wanted to do
this. I believe
this for
you referred to him as kind of a douche once.
I said he's your douche.
But he was our douche.
But I liked Casey. He could just get a little.
His ADD
myopic.
Would kick in.
Yeah.
It was a little too much.
But I mean, Casey was with me actually. The AC St. Louis press conference,
that's
when
right.
They announced the team, Casey and I were there, and I loved Casey, but...
It was his birthday yesterday.
Yes.
It's a good week to raise money for this. This is a big one to me. So if you're there, I'm going to harass you to put money in, so you might as well just go ahead and just hold up money when I come walking by, because I'm going to harass people, because this is where we need to have a good one. We've done awesome with charity du jour this year.
Yeah, and we like to have personal reasons to do these, you know, different people working with different charities, but this one is a little personal just for me and you and Brown and the people that knew Casey. So,
so if you give, that'll protect you from an uncomfortable hug from Brad, or if you give, that'll get you an uncomfortable hug from Brad. Really depends on how you want to...
Dealer's choice.
Yep.
And one more great piece of news that I almost forgot about until I was on my way here and I jotted it down on my note card here. Matt Bird got a new soccer-related gig.
Looks that way. Nothing confirmed.
Oh, okay.
Nothing confirmed.
Maybe yet. I broke the news too soon.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
All right, we'll save it until it's for sure. Until we see the press release.
We'll just say, look for him on your airwaves. And by airwaves, I mean internet waves.
Yeah, we'll see.
Other than that, we've got some soccer to talk about.
Some suck.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeremy was here on the last pod. We took a week off. And Jeremy said, you know, he admitted there's, you know, rough patch we're going through, and it got rougher.
It was as bad as it's been.
And granted, he's our friend, but more importantly, he stood there and took the abuse from us on behalf of the team.
Yeah, and I think, and we'll get to it with some of the rant line later on, but, I mean, Jeremy knows this is professional sports, and his job is on the line. You know, as we can agree or disagree on, you know, how much he's had a role in shaping this team. And granted, GMs at this level do different things than GMs at, you know, Major League Hockey or whatever. National
Major League Hockey.
I combined like four different.
Is that one
leagues.
Of those video game leagues?
Yes,
where,
yes.
You know,
it's
they
not
have...
official.
Yeah.
Yeah. The St. Louis Blue Team. No, but you know what I mean? Like, if it's a major league, your whole job is just getting players. Jeremy has more on his plate than that. But at the end of the day, he is responsible for putting this team together. And this team is not doing well.
That's candy coating it.
Yeah.
It was the worst it's been. Saturday was the worst.
Yeah. And
we've been lit up before, right? We've been lit up. But there's been reasons behind it that I can get behind. You know, we were lit up by Louisville at home in the last game of the season last year. That was 5-1.
Yeah.
But we were in the game until Musa got sent off. And then, it fell apart. You know, we got beat by Cincinnati 4-0 earlier in the season. But we were on short rest and we had six starters out. There are reasons for it. There was no reason why we got lit up on Saturday other than the fact that it was just...
They were bad.
It was bad.
Well, and since the last podcast... We lost to the New York Red Bulls 1-0, which that's a game you can't lose.
No.
We tied Rochester at home. Again, in a vacuum, not the worst, but we're out of time to say that. We have to get fucking points.
Grint and Grinny stood on his head, otherwise we'd have been looking at three points.
Oh, my
points.
God, did he.
Definitely. We'd have been looking at three losses in a row.
Yes.
And I said to you, I can't remember if I said it on the last pod or I said it off the record, but I saw us losing those three games.
Yeah,
I said it because I don't have any confidence that we can go anywhere and get anything done right now.
Well, and that, I mean that's the other thing we kept saying. Well, are we a better team than we're showing? I kept hanging on to the fact that I think we're a better team, but now I just have to say we are not a good team. We are a bad team.
But the thing is though.
Nope, Brad, we're a bad team.
Well. You look at the table.
Yeah.
I mean, the results don't lie. But up until Saturday, we'd been in every game, pretty much. Aside from Cincinnati, which I can get my head around because there was reasons. Right. But we've been in every single game.
We were only in Saturday for 15 minutes.
You know what, though? You can say we were in a game, and just because we only lost 1-0 to New York, we were never in that game. This team has not been in a game in a long time. We haven't gotten blown out like we did last against Charlotte.
True, I'll give you that.
But have they looked like they're going to win? Have they looked like they're going to score? I mean, we went 300 minutes
league game? No.
Without scoring.
The Open Cup game.
Wait, we went 500 minutes without
500.
Scoring.
And
let's not pat ourselves on the back. That goal by Tavo was bungled in. It wasn't.
Oh, it was awesome.
It wasn't a beautiful strike to break that streak.
You know, it was basically an own goal.
Right. I mean, bounced around and fell in.
Yeah. The thing is,
we are a shit team right now.
The hardest part for me in this discussion is that you look at the Open Cup games that are peppered in that time frame, and
they're deceiving.
They're deceiving in you're playing lesser talent, but the Chicago game, they were in it. And honestly, I thought that was going to be the turning point. And shame on me for thinking, you know, the hope that kills you.
They got up for that game, but again,
Was it the Chicago you thought they were?
No.
It wasn't the same Chicago that went to Cincinnati and Cincinnati beat, which, again, Matt Hildebrand won that game.
Mitch
Hildebrand.
I don't know. I thought Hildebrand Hildebrand let himself down by letting in Bastian Schweinsteiger's penalty. I think he should have gone. I think Grimwis would have saved all four. Yeah.
But Cincinnati played well that game, and that was a much better Chicago team.
And they were robbed. Cincinnati were robbed.
Yeah, I think so.
No, twice. Yeah. Twice.
So I go back to, we kept saying this could be a turning point, that could be a turning point. I think the season's done, guys. I can't see us making the playoffs. And I know logistically we win two, we're back in that.
Mathematically, two good performances and one loss by another team or two,
yeah,
gets us in there.
But I don't, I don't, I haven't seen any sign that they're turning it around.
There's no sign that they're going to take two.
I have zero. They have to show me something. I have zero confidence going in to any game the way we're playing right now. They have to show me something.
And here's the thing,
I don't know what it is. It would be one thing if I could say, oh, if they do this, it'll fix it. If they do that, it'll fix it. And I think the fact that, and we saw it on Twitter and Facebook this week, people getting into fights and people, well, he doesn't like me because he yelled at me. No, I think we're all just yelling because we all don't have a clue.
Yeah.
We're all,
the
you know,
frustration
Mitch,
palpable.
Mitch and I got into an argument yesterday, you know, it's this. I said, no, I think it's this. We're both right. It's this and that.
There's so many that, and I think that's the frustrating thing is that last year you said, you know what, we're not doing A, we're not doing
right.
B. The year before, we're missing this, we're missing that. This year, on paper, we have the components to be successful.
And I mentioned that to you know, got into a little spat with Matt Hutchison, right? Because Matt Hutchison his argument is valid. You know, to someone that doesn't really follow this league, how do you know these guys are good?
No.
You know, you can make Bebe look good on YouTube.
Right, right.
You know, and he's got a point there. But you still got five players in the squad that have won this league.
Yeah.
Two of them were captains.
Yeah.
You know, they're not scrubs. You've got two guys in Bierman and Dragon that have been the Western Conference semifinals. You've got Gorick and Dalgard that have been deep in the Western Conference with Colorado and Oklahoma City.
And Gorick was one of the top three goalkeepers of the year last year.
Second best goalkeeper in the league last year. You know, you can call, people can call Jeremy's head, but for God's sake, look at that.
By the metrics which we can measure these guys, which I get, the league changes every year and, you know, things aren't what they were the year before and things like that. But by every metric that we can measure these guys were talented guys to sign.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying they haven't lost a step or, you know, this or that's not
working.
But
even losing a step doesn't account for an entire drop off across the board.
So let's
pick on Davala for example, and you know, like the guy, it has nothing to do with the personality, but we saw last year in Colorado he was the man, number two in the league, no question, top flight goalie.
He was brought in to be our number one no discussion.
Yeah, they let Pace go, so there wasn't that
competition.
Right.
USL team of the week.
Yeah.
Mark Pace.
Anyway. But, you know, it was going to be clear cut. This is going to be our number one. Anybody else is going to be number two. He is the man.
Right.
We knew from watching him last year, because we did watch him last year many times, being in the Western Conference, he is that guy. He comes here, and he's not. That's one person.
Yeah.
It's happened a couple of times over. You have Tavo, who is not playing up to the standard that we saw the past 2 years.
We were stoked to bring in Dalgard. I thought Dalgard was going to be punishing people in the wings.
The things that he did to us last year in Oklahoma City, it was like, holy shit, we got a guy that fits a need. So you're talking about two, three guys right there, right off the top of our heads, who are way below performance.
Yeah,
that cannot be on anybody but those players. Or the staff, the coaching staff.
Well, yeah, and then we have to make that discussion. We have to talk about. We talked about Jeremy. We've talked a little bit about the players. Now let's talk about Preki. Sure, it's valid. If somebody wants, I mean, we've seen the hashtag come out already.
Yeah.
Preki out, which I think is ridiculous at this point to start having that conversation. But we can ask some serious questions about is it Preki's fault that he's not, you know, these are the players he wanted. Well, you know, granted, with input from Jeremy and input from the scouts.
Let's even go back to before that, the whole Preki out thing.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that offseason, October or whatever it was, when we're sitting in Kirkwood Station Brewing.
Yeah.
And he's being announced. Not a single person I can think of said this was a bad hire.
Oh, yeah. The people second-guessing and saying he was a bad hire are lying to themselves. Nobody was standing up saying that's a bad hire back then.
Everyone was euphoric. There was only one guy that wasn't euphoric and was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait and see. And that was Mike Tully, of all people. I remember it. Because I was like, come on, Mike, enjoy it. And he was like,
nope. But good for him. He was the smart one.
He was the only one I remember.
he's the genius, because the rest of us.
He looks like
Einstein.
The
rest of us
right
were like planning our photo shoot with the cup. I mean,
but that's the point. You know, it was he. And going back to Jeremy, we asked him, get us a new coach. You know, we, the fans, the support.
His bosses said, get us a new coach.
Let's be honest. But it was like, okay, let's get the best coach you can get. Preki was never in that conversation.
Preki was the one you said, well, if you could get anybody, you'd get Preki. But here's who I think we should get.
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, you went down the list of the guys that were available. And, you know, in a perfect world, that's who we'd get. And Preki was untouchable. It was just a pipe dream. So for Jeremy to pull
him for a start.
So for Jeremy to pull him out of hiding to get him to come here, you know, okay, how can anybody blame Jeremy for that? Unless Jeremy completely missed a character trait where he was like twitching and talking about, you know, defense.
Yeah, but I will say, going back to that night, the three of us had a 5-minute interview with Preki.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to bring it up if you...
And I think Matt Bird was the one that asked the question that, you know, because he'd been out of the USL for a season and a half.
18 months, yeah.
And Matt Bird was the one who asked, you know, how has the league changed or whatever? Do you think it's gotten harder? Because we were all like, yes, the league has gotten harder. And Preki said, no, I think it's gotten weaker.
It's gotten diluted because of the expansion. And
we all kind of raised an eyebrow at that.
Yeah.
So maybe you can say Preki didn't expect it to be as hard as he found
it. But the flip side of that is that he's also a guy that's always had that overconfident.
True.
Like, that's who he is. You know, he stood up on that set and he goes, we're going to play offense.
Yeah.
We might lose 5-4, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to win.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, I think saying Preki out is a little premature, but I think we need to ask Preki what the fuck's going on. And to that point, and we said it to Jeremy on the podcast last week, Preki needs to start addressing the fans. Preki needs to come out more than just 2-minute bugging the coaches. Preki needs to tell us what's going on with this team. If Mike Matheny is accountable, or Jeff Fisher, or whoever the coaches are, they have to come out and talk about their season, and especially when they're hitting the losing streak.
Yeah, the local media has been after Matheny right now,
right,
because he's throwing up goose eggs.
Right.
And again, I think we can
talk about the coverage isn't what it should be, but
someone has to ask those, someone has to say it. And if no one else is doing it, then we'll do it.
Well,
but that's the problem. You won't come
to
a podcast.
And I don't have a problem with that, but the team should put out an interview with Preki.
But as we said to Jeremy, this is where those Facebook...
Exactly.
You know, you can...
Let Preki go on there and yeah, you got to moderate it because idiots will ask stupid questions. But
no.
I swear to God.
For real?
For reals.
Soccer fans are going to ask dumb questions?
Yeah, and it might be me. Yeah. I mean, I'm not above asking a dumb question.
Ask him about the parking situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Preki, do you think we'd be having this problem if parking was $10?
Wow, that was fantastic. But that's the, you know.
But again, it goes back to people getting in fights on Twitter. He doesn't respect me, or what did he really mean by that tweet? Well, Mitch said this, but I think he meant this. And it gets into this whole stupid area where we're arguing about nothing, mm-hmm, or we're arguing about the same thing because we all want to know what's going on. We all have our theories. We all have our opinions. And, you know, I heard somebody say, oh, they're just drinking the Kool-Aid. Who the fuck is drinking the Kool-Aid? Nobody's happy.
If we are, it's laced.
I hope so.
It's laced, and we got our stupid Nikes on.
Well, because I haven't run into any St. Louis FC fan who's whistling and saying, isn't this great?
Yeah, you know, it's...
There's no one who's happy about what's going on.
Again, we watch people leave early at the watch party on
Saturday. And I know bubbly
That's
motherfuckers.
Never happened.
Malia is a bubbly person. Malia is always happy. And Malia's like, well, I'll see you next weekend. You know what I mean? Like, even our happy people aren't happy. So
when you take the wind out of their sails.
Right.
And again, this is 3 years of this.
Definitely.
I understand.
And I think it's worse
this
year. It's worse this year because our hope that kills us got even higher. And maybe that's our fault.
No,
maybe that's our fault.
But we've been saying since day one, we expect nothing but making the playoffs. That was the bare minimum standard that we expect.
Which in this league is eighth.
Yeah. That's,
eighth in your conference. Not eighth overall.
Yeah.
Eighth in the conference.
16 teams make it.
Right.
Out of 30. We need to be one of them.
I don't think that's holding them to too high a standard.
No, it's not.
And to be fair.
It's 500 ball most of the time.
And to be fair, we've talked to Pat Berry. We've talked to Tom Strunk. We've talked to Jeremy. They all feel the same thing. They're all, you know, of course, you know, Jeremy has to say the things Jeremy has to say because he's the general manager of the club. And when Preki does his interviews, he has to say what he has to say. But they all know it. They all know that it's not right. And we saw a move today. We saw them, you know, officially loan out Angulo and bring in a guy. No, that's not going to fix it. I mean, you know, people, there is no easy fix at this point.
Well, and that's the other thing. Bert even said it when we were chatting about the move, is that you're not going to get an all-star in the middle of the season.
No.
Essentially, this was a trade. Yeah. So let's not, you know.
Well, the way it's structured, though, if you look at the wording of that press release, we loaned Angulo.
But we got Jackson in return permanent.
And it wasn't just a trade. So yeah. I'm thinking we're saving a little money by shipping Angulo. And some people are upset. They're saying, oh, he's one of our leading scorers. We can't afford to get rid of him. You don't get rid of people.
500 minutes without a goal.
Well, but the other point is
500 minutes.
I can't offer you a piece of shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
500 minutes.
Stop it. You have to give somebody that has some value. If we've got a guy who's not getting any playing time, nobody wants him. Angulo's got 4 goals. That's a value that somebody may think they can get something from. So
they're gonna see 4 goals. They're gonna see not scoring in 500 minutes, and they're gonna say he's probably not getting service.
You also don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
That's the other part too. That you know, if Angulo was a
what's he like in training? Right. Yeah,
I think I'm not saying you know he was a cancer in the dressing room or anything like that. Angulo seems to me he likes an arm around the shoulder. He likes his ego stroked a little bit.
He's a striker. That's what they do. And
what Preki wants is the Marine Corps. He's putting you through the tough mudder every day. You know, that's what kind of
warrior he wants. And we know that doesn't work for every player, obviously. Yeah.
Is that maybe part of the problem?
That could very well be part of the problem. We don't know. But you would think the guys like Mirko, like Tavo, and the other guys who...
Tavo knew what he was coming into.
Exactly. If Tavo didn't respond to that sort of coach, why would he have signed here?
Right. I mean, we saw it with Chad Bond.
Yeah.
You know, well, Chad, you know...
And also, we all know Preki's reputation. We knew he's
a ball buster.
Is that guy. You would think the guys that signed on for that knew that was part of the deal. Now...
It's funny, and I hate to use this reference because some people get paranoid. You and I made the joke at one point in time about Iron Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
And there's some similarities. You played for Mike because you wanted to win. He knew how to win, but you had you were willing to accept
his
flaws.
He was an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and
he had his favorites.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities there. Yeah. And now, mind you, Keenan ended up being crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Preki's going to turn out crazy. He might. Yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, but that's the thing, is that when you get a guy that has that level of intensity, that expectation, you know what you're getting into. It's advertised. There is no surprise to this. If you're coming in thinking it's going to be different, shame on you.
Yeah. Well, and we can also bring up the fact that Preki doesn't have his assistant coaches. I don't know who he had when he was in Chivas. I don't know who he had when he was in Toronto. I don't even know who he had when he was in Sacramento.
It was Buckle.
Was one of his guys. Maybe there's a disconnect there between what he's expecting and what the daily assistant coaches are getting out of the team. And again, that's not to say Tim Leonard's not doing a good job, but maybe they're not meshing like we thought. Or caution. Yeah, no, these are all speculations. Sometimes people think, you know, we're giving inside information. No, a lot of times we're just soccer fans. Yeah.
Well, it's based on what we do know, and we'll tell you when we know something.
Right.
But, you know, we've been doing this for 7 years. It's not like we just started this 2 years ago and talk out of our ass and make shit up.
Sometimes we do.
Well, yeah, but we don't admit to it, dude.
Right.
But
most of it's science.
But it sounds good, though, doesn't
it? But we've been around long enough. You get to know the players. You get to see the nuances. You see the behaviors. You know, if there's something being lost between Preki and the players going through those coaches, I'm not necessarily blaming those coaches, but it's the whole thing that has to be figured out. That ship has to be righted.
And again, this is just another theory we're throwing out there of what could be the problem. Again, everybody there, if you ask 20 people, they'll have 20 opinions on what the problem is, but I think at the end of the day, we have to admit it's a combination of all of it.
Absolutely. There's no question.
And again, there's no magic bullet. You can't, you know, loaning Angulo to Oklahoma City does not fix the offense. No.
But
and Jeremy doesn't think it fixed the offense. I do think it does. I think they'll bring in some more players personally.
I do think it puts everybody on notice.
Absolutely, it shakes it up.
Because I mean,
you made the joke,
you made the joke. Oklahoma City not a bad team, but that's a shit place to live.
Dude, we're in fucking St. Louis. AJ got his car jacked. I mean,
county, hello?
Dude, you don't want to be on the highways anywhere in the city.
I know.
You're getting shot at.
County.
Okay, that's right. But
I don't know. I've not had an earthquake under my house recently. So,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true, too. That. Recently, but it has. Well, it has happened. But
New Madrid is set to blow, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, is that it's, you know, you're getting shipped to Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know, well, and that's the other thing. Every one of these guys is a professional football player. If nothing else, they should be playing because next year they got to go somewhere. And right now, if you're a talent scout looking at this team, ain't none of them impressive.
I'm seeing guys that have given up.
If you'd have watched on Saturday, it was men against boys. It was awful. They were slicing us like knife
now,
through butter.
I'm not saying everybody on this team isn't hustling because there are a few who are working. But overall, if you're looking at a team that is this far down in the standings, you know,
yeah,
you need to be able to stand out on this team.
There's no chemistry right now. There's no confidence right now. There's nothing. There's nothing that gives me any joy in looking forward to Saturday. Oh, by the way, Saturday, play the best team in the league. Yay!
And we follow that up with the second best team in the league.
Yeah.
So,
that's the thing. I forget who I was talking to, but I said, look, we just played the third best team in the league and got our asses handed to us. Mm-hmm. And now we face number one and number two.
Mm-hmm. They got to show me something. I have zero. And I'm putting a lot of it on the players personally. I think to a certain degree.
Because even if nothing's working in the coaching staff, play for pride. Some of these guys don't look like they're playing.
You watch them when... And we've talked about a couple of weeks running, when they start to knock the ball around at the midfield line when we're in the offensive zone, and it's half-ass, and it's lackadaisical.
It seems like every game, there's a lazy play in the back that leads to a goal.
Yeah,
Charlotte was led better.
Oh, you know, my God.
Dicking around, watching the ball, trying to usher it out. And
the guy was on his shoulder the whole time.
And he just booped around him, and it was like, we go down a goal early almost every game, and then we're playing
at that point in time.
In the hole.
Ledbetter turn around and punch him in the jaw, and take a straight red,
or kick it the hell out of
bounds.
But
I'm just saying, if you're going to do something stupid,
yeah,
do something good, stupid, because that was
that's good
like
and stupid.
Podcast.
Yeah,
because I mean, that was when he did that. I just remember all of us at the bar looking around at each other like,
"Are you kidding me?"
My U-12 team, I've coached them out of doing that.
And you saw it happen in slow motion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You knew it was coming.
What's he doing?
Yeah. But again, these are things that you work on at the youth. You know, when they're the basics, when the things that have been drilled into your head 1,000 times are failing,
and
that's not on the coaches.
And the things that bother me is they're flukes. But when there's flukes every game,
it's no longer a fluke. It's
exactly.
A trend.
It
once is a mistake, but twice is a trend.
I'm expecting to go a goal down early
every
and
time.
Have to claw out of the hole.
We're going to play the first 15 minutes strong, and then we're going to give up a goal.
Let's also discuss the fact that we had a clean sheet against Rochester. All right, we didn't produce much, but your back four and your goalkeeper, we changed four of those.
Yeah.
I mean, how tired are they after a Wednesday game? I don't know, but it seems like changing four of your five at the back, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, but I also
that lineup scared me. When I saw the lineup that we put out at Charlotte, scared me.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's quote-unquote sending a message,
but I wondered,
it sent a bad message.
Well, but I wondered, because you talk about guys getting tired. I thought that was Angulo's game to start because Bolesky had played so much.
I agree.
And so that put in my head, maybe Angulo's out of favor.
Yep.
There may be some other guys on this list that are out of favor because, like I said, I think we'll bring a few more guys in, but I don't think we're necessarily done losing guys.
At least they're doing something. They're trying to do something.
I think that's the point right now.
It may not fix anything, but
what's
going on right now isn't working. Let's try something different.
If I'm one of those other guys, I would just say Dalgard, just picking on him. and I see this just happen, I'm picking up the pace.
Oh yeah,
because it's in any of our line of work. If you're not doing your job, you're getting fired.
I should have been fired years ago.
I know, but you know, if you get talked to by the boss five times and he says you got to fix this or else you're out, and he tells you five times change and you don't, you can't be surprised when you get fired.
Well, and especially if you look across the field and another guy who he told it to is now in Oklahoma City.
Yep,
you got to be saying, okay, maybe I don't want to have another conversation because the thing
is, if you fail here and you get sent to Oklahoma City,
right?
Good luck finding another job.
Maybe Dalgard wants to go back to Oklahoma City.
No, maybe he does.
But
and again, these are things we don't know. We don't know.
We have no insight. And that's kind of the hard part, I think, for a lot of the fans, is that in the years past, we've had a lot more access to the players
that
we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that's also a good thing because if we did have the access we had in the years past, I think a couple weeks ago, we probably would have been more angry.
There were things that came out in years previous because players were friendlier with the fans, I would say, that shouldn't have come out of the locker room. I still hear rumors. I still hear things coming out that I don't like the sound of.
We've got a fair amount of stalkers.
You hear stories, and I don't like to hear them all, but then I try to take things with a grain of salt, too, because if a player's mad, if a player's not doing well, of course he's going to blame the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And vice versa. I'm sure the coach says, oh, that guy's worthless, but maybe it's because the coach isn't getting through to him. So I take all those stories with a grain of salt, but obviously something's wrong somewhere, and maybe multiple things are wrong in multiple places.
I do think this is not a fix today, but I think it's at least ignition that maybe things are different this week. I'm not expecting any win. I'm not expecting any result changes.
They have to show it. As I say, they have to show me something.
Yep, they have to show it.
You know, Matt said it after the Chicago game when we were going into that Cincy game. We don't have to win it, but we have to show we care. And I think that's where a lot of the fans are. It's like, if you're not going to win, at least prove to me you're giving it your all out there. Mm-hmm. And you look back to years past, a guy like Sam Fink, you knew Sam gave everything he had out there. You knew, you know, other players. Throw some names out there.
Hardware.
You know, sometimes I look at these guys and I'm not sure they're given everything they have.
Well, as Jeremy sat here 2 weeks ago and argued vehemently against that, what I still think is that they're playing the safe ball. You know, they've got this monkey on their back, the pressure's on. And instead of beating a guy and losing the ball, they'll just pass it sideways.
They don't want to be the next Ledbetter kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. They don't want to.
But you got to go for it.
You have to take risks. I mean,
hey, we lost 5-1. It doesn't get any worse than that.
That's true. I mean,
and seriously, losing 1-0 doesn't make a damn bit of difference. I mean, some people after the Rochester draw were like, see, that's positive. Fuck that. I mean, I know we were going to try to tone down the cussing and make
this
a clean podcast.
Not this week.
But seriously, getting a draw at home against Rochester, that doesn't help anything.
No.
It really doesn't.
If you'd have got that 0-0 draw after we played Pittsburgh away.
Right.
When we had those three wins in a row. If you'd have got that 0-0, you'd have been disappointed.
Or I'll even give you, if you're in Rochester at that point in the season, sure, I'll take a 0-0 because Rochester is the 1-0 team.
Yeah.
But again, we've said it so many times on this pod. We kept making excuses. Well, that's in a vacuum. This is okay. Well, that's not the worst result. But we've said that so many times now, we can't say it anymore.
The thing is, Sunderland went to Chelsea and lost 1-0. In a vacuum, that's a good, half-decent performance. Right. You know, they went to Spurs and lost 2-1. That's not, you know, you can accept that. You know, they went to United, they drew 1-1. You know, so it's a good point. Outside the vacuum, Sunderland got fucking relegated.
Right.
You know, well,
right. Exactly. And hey, everybody who's all pro-rel for the USA, guess where we'd be next year?
Oh, we'd be looking over our shoulder.
We'd be in a Sunday
league. Well, we'd already be there. We'd have gotten bounced last
Three
year.
Times. Three times.
Right.
So, I mean,
I don't know. People say the ownership's not doing enough. They gave enough money to buy Preki.
But I talked to Fred about that, and Fred was like, our cards are on the table. We've laid our cards on the table. all the decisions we've had to make, we've made, and there's not much more we can do.
Yeah,
you know, and the stall has been set at the beginning of the season.
But we know they've increased the budget every year, you know, and this year was the sort of, we're going for broke. We gave them the money to buy Preki. We gave them the money to sign a whole new team. I mean,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
Three players kept. That's a whole new team.
So in that sense, when people say, you know, well, Preki is responsible. Yeah. Yeah, he is. These were the guys that he went along with Jeremy and along with the rest of the staff. It's not like they're like, well, next year we'll sign a few more players to put our plan together. He kind of did that.
Well, and we look at Tony Walls, you know, another good player that fits into our thoughts. You know, is he a Preki player? Maybe, maybe not. Is he a Jeremy player?
He's a Jeremy player.
Definitely. So we're seeing him say, hey, this guy can help us. I'm bringing him in. You know, obviously, Preki's going to have to meet with the guy and see if he does actually fit and, you know, see if Tony's buying in.
I do think we have a tendency to generalize and say these are Preki's players. I think Jeremy's influence on this team, I think he's had quite a bit of influence on his team. Obviously, Mirko and Tavo and Bjurman, some of those guys out west are more Preki's kind of guys.
Yeah.
But
Valesky and
you look at Dalgard and Valesky and some of the other guys, Midwest guys and the Eastern Coast guys, I got to think Jeremy's had more
input
on those.
And that becomes the hard part. And it doesn't free either of them from responsibility or damn the other one. But I do think that at the time, when you see a hole in a system or you see a way that can be improved and you're not running the system, you have to take that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I do hope that's what's going on this week.
But also, it ties their fates together. I mean, we said it before, Jeremy's, you know, reputation is going to live or die whether Preki succeeds. And we all said that fully expecting Preki to succeed.
Well, I think here's the thing. Preki's legacy right now is in the series.
Absolutely.
Jeopardy.
Oh, absolutely.
God. Because there's, you know, 2 years ago, he's up for the Leicester job. And,
yeah, he was the hottest, now, one of the hottest coaches in the United States.
In the world.
Yeah.
Really, in the world. And now, you know, losing.
But
again,
if there's one guy you have to have confidence in that can right the ship, it's going to be this dude. And, you know, I think we have to afford him the same time that we afforded Dale.
I think that's a fair point because... But I also think it was also because we were a starting out franchise, and Dale didn't get the upfront freedom,
yeah,
that Preki has. I mean, Preki was basically given, I don't want to say an open checkbook because that wasn't the case, but he was given fairly free rein to just go ahead and get the guys that work in his system, and that's again, it's his system. It's not Jeremy's. It's not Tom's. It's not Pat's. It's not Darian's. This is Preki's system.
Well, and I think the other thing we have to say is we say Preki's reputation is on the line. St. Louis FC's reputation is on the line because if we become the team that fired Preki and couldn't get it done with Preki, a lot of people are going to be looking at St. Louis and saying, I don't want that job.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I think there's a lot of egotistical guys out there go, I could turn that around.
I don't know, but again... The whole thing with Preki out, or whenever they start talking about any coach out, you don't want to be that team that fires a guy after
absolutely.
3 months.
Absolutely. Or... Absolutely. But I do think the coaches are very egotistical and like, I can turn it around where he...
Oh, Preki thinks he's hot? I can do better.
Yeah.
I'll show everybody I'm the better coach.
Well, and money talks.
Yeah, that too.
But, you know, for everyone that says, you know, I've seen this a lot also, the excuses coming out always, a brand new team, it takes time, blah, blah, blah. Tulsa.
Yeah.
Tulsa have won 7 games. Tulsa have actually won 8 games, but they had one chalked off.
No.
They're at, officially, results on the field, they're 8-7. But, you know, they had an eligible player. And their coach had no USL experience when he came in, and they got a whole new squad, and they're flying. They're playing 500 ball.
Yeah.
And... You know,
well,
they
look
have...
at Cincy. Cincy made a big splash with their coach. I mean, the other way, people weren't as excited about Parks leaving, and they had some problems to start off the season. But they're getting it together. It's clicking. You know what I mean?
And they just signed Kyle Gregg as well. Jesus. He was scoring for fun for Vancouver last year.
They just got money, man.
Yeah, that's part of it. When you can throw money at it, it's a lot different squad. But I mean, again, we open the checkbooks, so it's not...
I mean, Harrisburg looks at us and says, oh, I wish we had St. Louis's money.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not...
But guess what? I wish we had their record.
I mean, getting good,
boys. I just don't know what to say at this point. I just, honest to God,
the only thing to say at this point is that the guys on the field have to do it. In the stands, the coaches, the owners, the general manager, the ticket takers, the beer vendors, anybody in that goddamn stadium this weekend cannot do a single thing to change a result.
Players have to do it. And we've said before, they play for pride, guys. Yeah. I mean, there are scouts watching these games. There are scouts watching these games. Jeremy watches every USL game. You know what I mean?
But I've said it for the last 2 months. There are guys that spend their hard-earned money going to watch this team play. There was guys there in Charlotte.
Yeah.
That spent their hard-earned money and their weekend away.
And Chris Lamacchia, who's in the service, follows this team religiously, and that's one of the few games a year he can get to because he's stationed out there.
Dragging his pregnant wife out.
His pregnant wife out, and then some people from St. Louis drove.
Two carloads that I saw. And it was great support.
And it just, I mean, I don't want to say, well, you owe it to those fans that drove there, but...
No, you owe it to all the fans. The ones that drove there, the ones that watched it in ITAP, the ones that watched it from their houses, the one that'll be there
Saturday.
The season
ticket holders that'll be there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing. We made a commitment at the beginning of the season as season ticket holders. I'm not saying, pity the fans, and that's every pretty in that stadium.
And I people are going to quit going.
Yeah, you took me where I was going there.
This team is awful. They're just awful.
Last year, we had a lot of people dropped season tickets, and we said they're lost because here comes Precky.
Yeah.
And here comes changes, and we're going to be an environment of winning. This is the way things are.
And we thought they'd all be back.
Yeah.
Well,
and we're going to lose more this year.
You know what, though? We win 4 in a row, they'll be back. I'm not saying it'll be 4 in a row this season.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, you would like to think they could turn it around. And yes, we're just now getting to the midway point in the season. We could flip the script and you know, knock it out of the park. I just don't have any faith that's going
to
happen.
They have to show it.
That's all it comes down to.
I can't.
Well, I think it was Hutchinson maybe that put up the little graphic, the Missouri, it's the show me state.
They have to show it.
And they're going to have to win some fans back because they've lost some.
And the only way that you win fans, regardless of what your rate, is winning.
Yeah.
That was we said that at the beginning of the season.
Heart and effort. You can lose, but give it all and, you know, lose a heartbreaker or, you know what I mean? We've all seen good losses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When a guy's given everything.
We haven't seen a good loss
in
a while.
No, but you know what I'm saying. When guys have given their all and
you see them just collapse at the end of the game.
And they were almost there. I can give it up for that.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing it.
There were times last year where we did see it and we thought we didn't see it.
Yeah. Well,
that's been the funny thing is that last year we were like, God, it can't get any lower.
God love the fans when you're watching Twitter and Facebook whenever the game's on. And I don't even know who it was. Somebody was like, God damn it, the ref blew the whistle too soon. We should have had 2 more minutes. And I'm thinking, good Lord, how many points are we going to score in 2 minutes? I mean,
when we were 5-1 down?
Yes.
10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. But you know what I mean? People want to believe, and they're willing to go with you there. I mean, even at that point, I'm like, this guy's delusional. But God love him. This is his team.
We're begging for them to blow the whistle.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. These are the fans. These are the people who, they want this more than the players do at this point, I'm thinking.
Probably.
I mean, it's got to the point now.
Hell, we're doing this goddamn podcast every week.
It happened with the comedian on Twitter.
Pity. That's pity. So much worse than banter.
Oh, my God, isn't it?
The Jacks made a comment, and I made a comment back about attendance, and they just said scoreboard, and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't talk shit.
You were right that we did have more people in the bar than they had in the stands. But
it doesn't matter. They're going to the playoffs.
It doesn't matter at all.
doesn't matter. I'd take 50 people in the playoffs right now.
Yeah,
because I'd be one of the 50.
Yeah. That Charlotte team deserves more fans. It's a crying shame that they don't have more fans there, because that's
a good
team.
They might have showed up to one of the other stadiums.
That's true. They have five home stadiums.
But, I mean, we've said that about a lot of teams. I mean, Rochester deserves more fans. I mean, what's going on in Rochester is pitiful. You know, Colorado Springs deserves more fans. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Well, and like I said before, we're going to have to adjust our expectations from being a team that sells out and gets 6,000 every week.
The way it's going, yeah.
We're going to be a 3,000 fan team if we don't get our shit together.
Three?
Well, I mean...
We'll be lucky.
I think we'll still get a good St. Louis crowd of soccer fans, because not just in the corner. There are really good fans on the other side that come out to watch the games, but we won't be selling out if this is the pace we're going at.
There's only so many times you can get slapped in the face. And every Saturday when we play right now, we're getting slapped in the face.
And we're fighting for disposable income. Yeah. You know, you could take the kids to an air-conditioned movie theater to see the new Spider-Man movie, or you could go sit out in 100-degree weather and watch your team get their asses beat. Well, I'm going to be out there watching soccer because I'm a fool.
You're a masochist. Yeah.
I really am. You know what I mean? There's nothing they could do where I wouldn't renew my season tickets next year. You know,
they got you.
They could fire Jeremy. They could fire the coach. They could fire everybody.
Yeah, they've got you.
And I'll be back. Yeah. But I'm not the one they need to get back to every game. They've got me. But the rest of the stadium, it's going to be hard to fill that if you keep having teams like this.
I can't argue, Brad. I just don't know what to do.
And again, we come back to the same thing. This is all, we've said this for a while. It all comes back to the same thing. We don't have an answer.
Nope. Let's do one more bit of good news, and then
Should I bring the puppy down?
Yeah. Then we're going to get to some rants. We asked this week on Twitter for people to give us their one tweet rant, and some people couldn't even follow that direction. gave three or four, but we'll read those rants because some of them are pretty good. Some of them are, you know, comical. And we can comment, you know, if we think we've got the answer. But like I think we've proved for this hour or however long we've been doing this, we don't have the answer. Nobody does.
If anybody rants about parking, don't read it.
There is not a parking one in the whole lot. But the good news is I want to mention our friends Fire and Ice. They are officially the 2017 Central Division Valley Region champions.
Killing it.
Of their league.
They destroyed the competition.
And I believe the playoffs start... next weekend, or the 21st and 22nd, I believe, is what it was.
And it's 22nd and 23rd.
Okay, there you go.
I think we play on the 22nd.
Okay. So
15th, 22nd, 23rd are the next game.
That's in Belleville, where they'll be having their playoffs. We will post a link to their events.
Yeah, it's at Belleville West High School, guys.
Yeah, and again, we've said it before, but if you've got a kid playing soccer, I don't care, boy or girl, get out there and watch what Lindsay's got her girls doing. It's a high-quality soccer, entertaining, offensive, everything we wish St. Louis FC was right now.
Yeah, I seen them play FC Pride out there a couple of weeks ago, man. They just mullered them 3-0.
Good team, and Lindsay's great. So, cheers to Fire and Ice for winning that.
You know, everyone that says St. Louis should have a women's team, they do. They play in Belleville. Go see them.
Yep. All right. We're going to get to...
Brad's got his phone out. It's rant time.
Got my phone out. We're going to do the rants. I should prepare ahead of time for this, but I never do.
You prepare more than me. You got notes.
There's a picture of a puppy. Now I'm happy again. All right. In no particular order.
It's not yours.
In no particular
order. Probably makes him happy that he doesn't have to get up at six in the morning with
it. I told somebody that today. I can just play with this puppy and I go home. It's not my shoes. He's tearing up. Okay. I'm just going to read these and you guys feel free to chime in if you want. This is Ryan Stone Cowboy. Obviously, his real name. He gets up at 2 a.m. to watch games.
Oh, that's Ryan Key.
Okay, there we go. Gets up at 2 a.m. to watch games, hangs his homemade St. Louis FC insignia from his apartment window, drinks Madrina's coffee. What more can he do? I think he's doing everything he can. That sounds like a fan to me.
They hooked him.
He gets up at 2 a.m. Where's
that
he at?
Scottish, Ryan?
In Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay. Northern Ireland, yeah.
Oh, okay. There's my boy.
Yeah. In fact, actually, I think we need to have him on before he heads home.
Yeah. No, we can't have another guy with an accent on.
No, me and him at the last game, we got good and drunk, and we talked it all out.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant man.
He's got the hook. He's hooked.
Yeah. Again, he's got a lot better quality football over there to be watching.
Oh, I don't know. He's a Glen Torren fan.
No, never mind.
All right. Hey, we got about 40 rants, so we got to get through these.
Right. Yes, Dad.
Oinkity. I always love this one. And is his spelled out name is in Cyrillic, so I've got no chance with that. He says he didn't pray enough with the voodoo shamans in the preseason to curse our respective opponents, thinking that makes this all my fault. I'm sorry.
We can bring Joe Boo to the next game.
Yep.
Get out the rum.
James Costin, our friend James Costin, the happy capo. Good start, but the wheels falling off quickly. Time to play the kids. At least we have booze and friends and a bomb tailgate, though.
I can agree with the last part.
Tailgate's true. And I think, I mean, at a certain point, I'm down with playing the kids if you know.
If all
hell is. Aiden Stanley got a game.
Played He's well.
17 years old. Let's get him built up because.
He was man of the match. He was a defender. Man of the match.
I don't
and
get that.
A 5-1 loss.
I don't get that.
Loss. It's because he's a St. Louis kid. That's
he
why.
Got massive family or what?
Yeah. Yes. That's got to be.
Could very
it.
Well be. Malia, our friend Malia, who's always happy. The guys have lost their heart. It's sad and depressing. The yes. only reason I go to game is for the St. Louligans. That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works.
That's right. She's right.
They got to show us something. Get the heart back.
Claude Carricker, 3 awful years in a row, even proven winners added this year. It tells me the club has not built a winning culture from the top down.
We've talked about that before.
We've definitely talked about the winning culture, and yeah.
Everything's in place to do so. I don't get it. This is, again, I don't get it.
Yeah,
We have more resources than 90% of other teams in the USL. I don't understand what's wrong.
Will Bramlett, why do I travel to see my team play and they not show up? Then again, I'm super excited for Richmond. Maybe we can beat a team at the bottom of the table.
Fool went to Ottawa to watch a CFL game. You travel because you're a bonehead. Don't come talking about
buddy,
traveling.
Buddy's right. A lot of people, you know,
we
they
all,
make those
we
trips.
We all have yeah. made, put yeah. a lot of miles on to watch yeah. shit
I
teams.
Know. I've seen us win away.
Let
so
Mark Gardner rant begin.
Jason Petrillo, when I see players walking back onside when RT by teammate needs an outlet, when right by a teammate he needs an outlet, I see no heart, no desire, just a cancer that's consuming this team.
We did see that in that last home game.
We did see it, yeah. And but here's the thing, and I was thinking about this. You don't know. They may run that drill every week in training. Where that guy, Dalgard passes it back to the guy and the guy's got to whip it in.
Yeah.
You know, and if he doesn't whip it in, Dalgard's stood there waiting for him to whip it in, not expecting the ball back. So, I don't know.
All right, Mike McHugh. Promises made, promises broken. Shouldn't be this bad. One person seems responsible. Time for major fixes before more damage is done.
It's not Darian's fault.
Well, and I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Who does Mike mean? Does he mean Preki? Does he mean Jeremy? Does who, you know? Again, I can put.
I'm going to take it to mean the security guard, Mark.
Preki is the head coach. Let's not pull any punches here. Let's not hide from it. Preki is the head coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't. That may be who Mike's referring to.
I've got to think so. But Preki's the head coach.
And see, this is where we get in those things. What did he really mean by that tweet?
Right. And then people start,
and then people start speculating.
Okay,
and
I'll get a message from Mike in the morning. He's like, no, this I actually meant this, dude. You yeah. know,
well,
so.
Then he should have said it. It's not our fault.
Well, there's only 140 characters. You can only do so much. Unless you're one of the cheaters that did more than one tweet. Stuart Hultgren, the first 2 seasons had amazing moments to get us through the dark times. Losing to the Fire better not be this season's high point.
Winning the King's Cup will be in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it, Stuart. It's
there
on.
We
it's
go.
It's back on. I'm going old.
It's back on. It's been a while since we've heard that one. It's back on. That's when you know the season is over, when Matt Berg claims it's back on.
I'm going old Jim Sullivan positive on you.
It's back on.
It's back on, man. On.
Dan Dawson, shit. I hate where the team is right now. but am willing to give it more time before reaching a verdict. Remember Mark Robbins. I don't know who Mark Robbins is.
Anybody? Mark Robbins was the guy in 1990, I believe, who scored a extra time goal for Manchester United against Nottingham Forest, and United went on to win the FA Cup, and Alex Ferguson kept his job.
Well, there you go. Fucking fountain of knowledge over there.
It's only United, though.
It's only because I was looking off my seat.
Hey, guys, let's give a moment of recognition for Dan Dawson. That was our first positive rant.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he admits it's shit, but it could get better.
You know, you are picking out an example from 27 years ago and holding on to it, Dan. You hold on to that straw, son.
Matt Hutchinson, this kind of touches on something you mentioned earlier, Bird. It's more difficult to evaluate, obtain, and retain talent in this league than we all thought. True talent shines through, though. It's just not there.
Well, I actually mentioned this, right, to another guy this week, because everyone raves about Dane Kelly. Dane Kelly, Dane Kelly, leading USL goal scorer. He scored 60 goals in 7.5 seasons. Right, he's averaging 8 a year. That's not Herrera Fondi stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's only the league's leading scorer because he hasn't had a blowout year and
moved up, bigger
and better. So, I mean, Matt's right in a way.
Would you take 8 goals?
He could even have a dipping form, I'd take him.
He could have a 25% cut.
I'd pay him double and take 7 goals.
But, I mean, they put up 9 against Los Angeles Galaxy.
Oh, Jesus, that was brutal.
You know?
Fan Van, St. Louis FC Fan Van, would like to say we're stagnant, but this is actually the worst we've ever been. Players always look defeated, and there's not a plan to fix.
I can't argue.
I won't say there's not a plan to fix.
We're seeing things
but
happen,
I think this is the worst it's been for a while.
I think so.
I think this is the worst it's been.
Greg Halvex, he was one of the ones that couldn't stick to just one tweet, but I'll read them both. Frustrating. Expectations were just more offense, grow the fan base, make the playoffs. Somehow we're stagnant while other new teams excel. And he made this point before. I mean, he's right. The other teams that came in and around us are making the playoffs without a problem.
Repeatedly.
Yep. Joe Brannon, I'm more disappointed in Preki than any one player. He had free reign to rebuild a bad team and somehow made it worse. I expect much more.
I won't say he had free reign, but almost.
He had a hand in all the signings, at least.
Yeah.
And he has made it worse.
Yes.
I think it's worse.
Yes.
But I also, and again, Preki is the head coach. It all falls on him.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the players need to be looking at themselves in a mirror.
Oh, yeah. Amelia Perez, something is breaking these boys down. The fire they had at the beginning of the season is almost completely out.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough. Karen, St. Louis Karen, said it Saturday. Seems like no more heart or passion, no care about the field product. I feel like I only go to the park to drink and hang out with my friends now.
Yeah.
Sad, but
to be fair,
yeah.
You're not the only one.
Greg Halvex again. This was the year to pick up more fans with the Preki move, but playing worse than ever. Every big KPLR game is a loss and a lost opportunity.
Boy, if that's not truth.
Yep. If you're expecting us to, you know, give you hope after these, I don't know. Jake, Cake with Jake, he said, is it possible that the league passed Preki by while he was gone and he isn't willing, able, aware to adjust?
Maybe. I don't know how much USL he watched while he wasn't working.
We've asked that question.
But I do think he's now watching the league and can go, oh, I need X, Y, and Z now.
You don't forget everything you knew about soccer in 2 years.
Well, and that's the thing. The course of a career versus 2 years, the league didn't change that much. Yeah.
I mean, he may have to adapt. He may have to change some of his
beliefs. I think the things that made him successful, other teams have adopted.
Maybe.
I think the high press from the midfield, more teams play that way now.
Maybe players he thought were an 8.
Or a 7 or a 6.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I need to go get some 10s for next season. I mean, I have to have confidence that he can adapt and put this right.
Yeah, but I will. But
I mean, what's the alternative? We can't be a club that fires everyone every year either. I mean, we have to have some stability.
But you know, you do see his hard-nosed style isn't in line with the modern. And I say modern, it's only been a year and a half.
That's the thing. I mean,
but some of the new talent coming up isn't his kind of guy.
He wasn't revolutionary two years ago.
No.
It's not like he came up with, it's not like when the NHL had the neutral zone trap and everybody had changed.
Bob Lilley up in Rochester.
Yeah, he's been there forever doing it.
He's been there forever and he won the league 18 months ago.
Exactly.
Bill Betcher in Harrisburg, he's been there forever and he's gotten. He's got twigs and shit to work with.
And USL is that league that recycles some coaches. Even the guys that are popping up and bouncing around, most of them have been in this game for a while.
Yeah.
Aaron Mednick, very disappointed with the lack of attack, scoring, and wins. Good news, at least we can never lose a tailgate. That's a good point.
Correct.
And brings us back to the point, Precky promised us attacking football.
Yep.
You can't have attacking football when you're passing it along your back four.
Look, nope. Aaron and Mark and those guys, they promised a kick-ass tailgate, and they deliver.
Speaking of which, this week, hot dogs, chili hot dogs, they're going to have onions and like the whole nine yards of works and everything.
If you
want to
buck up your breath, you can do it at our tailgate.
Goddamn right.
Onions and peppers and
all those kind of good things. They're throwing down the chili dogs.
After standing with 500 people in 95 degree heat, no one's going to smell your breath.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be awesome.
With polyester shirts on.
Yeah.
Let's do it up. Tad Stroker, this is one of our boys. He says, they must be playing for the number one draft pick. That joke never gets old to me.
Never.
I love it. If you're losing, you can always say, or at least we're going to get the number one draft pick.
Unless you're in Colorado in the NHL this past year.
Nah. Andrew Mandizariziera, I think this is Malia's friend that she brought out to a game.
He was an intern for a while.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, rugby player.
Yeah.
Merrillville.
Team looks lost year after year. Hard to build a winning formula with an ever-changing infrastructure and player base, players and coaches. Something to be said for that, but we needed to
bring in new blood this year, but I just got to. You can't do it every year though either.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't build upon losing.
Wes Brammer, new coach, new talent, new start to the season, same old results and poor performance. We're shit and we know we are.
Yeah.
Fan for life. I like he tagged fan that for fan life. For life.
Fan for life.
Is one of us. That's a guy who, no matter what, he's going to be back. But people like Wes deserve better. I deserve better. I'm an asshole. But look, Wes seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, but I mean, Chris Anders said it. You know, we're not entitled to anything. We know that. We want better.
Right.
Nobody is entitled to shit in life.
No, you know what I mean.
No, I know.
I hate when I hear people say that because I don't. No, nobody's entitled to shit. That's the way life is. But you know what you do? You want to have a better time, no matter what.
You like to think if you go out and you work hard, you'll make more money.
Right.
Well, if you go out and you give it your all on game day, you'll be rewarded with a win now and again.
There's nothing wrong with having that thought process.
Yeah.
Is it realistic? No. No. We've seen that over 3 years.
No. But
fuck it.
Every team in this league can beat every other team apart from us.
Except for us. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
That's how it seems.
Hot
I'm not
take.
Being funny.
Hot take from Mr. Bird.
I'm going to have to start bringing the sampler so I can have drops.
Here's the question. How many teams have we won away that got to the playoffs? In that season.
How many teams have we won away?
Period.
Just stop right there.
Right.
In 2.5 years, we've beat two teams away that have made the playoffs.
Who?
It was Sacramento last year.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City Energy the first year.
Oh, yeah.
But again, we don't win on the road.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
What that stat's meaningless.
Shit, you could almost throw home games out there.
I mean, that's how bad it's getting.
We know. Dude, we've been saying they're terrible on the road for 3 years. That's nothing new.
Our friend David Sharp here, this is poetic. I don't think it's a haiku because I think there's too many syllables, but it's yeah, clap this one out, Mitch. New coach, high hopes, false start, couple of injuries, reset expectations, head scratching, more patience, frustration, exasperation. Yeah, I'm digging David's David, what he's putting down. But yeah, it sucks. He's got emojis that go with all those too, and it's quite the little roller coaster of yellow faces. Jeff Aiken.
It's quite the roller coaster of yellow faces.
Jeff.
Sounds like a theme park in China.
I was feeling a little poetic there too. Jeff Aiken, how can we play with absolutely no sense of urgency? We're a goal down and nobody wants to put the ball on the net. Pass.
Fucking question.
That was my issue with the Bethlehem game. You know.
Yep.
It's every game though. It's not even anything new.
You know, but here's the thing though. In the New York game,
I did like Valesky came out in that Charlotte game and he took a couple shots early from distance. We got to do more of that, and then they just stopped.
The Bethlehem game, 85 minutes gone, 2-1 down at home, dicking around with it. Jeff's right. Jeff Aiken's right there in what he's saying. And it happened.
He had no emojis with that.
No? Well, get with David Sharp and figure it out.
Hunter Merritt, communication and tactical thought isn't there. Attacking movement doesn't flow. The psychology of the game is catching up. Let them play some chess first. Yeah.
I don't watch chess for a reason. You know, when everyone says, oh, this game's like a chess match, yeah, people don't watch chess.
Yeah, you think soccer's boring, watch chess.
But, you know, we'll get the ball, we'll try and go upfield, you know, like some sort of start of a counter.
Yeah.
And then we'll stop.
Yep.
We'll pass it sideways, we'll pass it back, we'll pass it sideways again, and they've got now 11 guys behind the ball. It's very difficult to break 11 guys down. It's hard enough to score as it is, especially when they've got 11 guys behind the ball. You know, whenever we get a little bit of momentum, a little bit of counter-attacking nous, we stop.
Maybe we should do a different formation.
Well, hey, try the 2-1-7. See what happens.
I like a 1-1-1-1.
I want the I formation.
I think we should play foosball where they stay in a line and just shuffle sideways. Jim Bellinger, I think the players need to be threatened with being put in the Chupacabra Corral.
This isn't North Korea. We can't put people in the gulag.
Jim, the problem may be they're being threatened too much. I don't know. At this point, anything is possible. Jim Sullivan, this looks like another poetry exercise that the teacher is given, because there's not a lot of thought into it, but... Well, no, I mean the format. What he's saying is true.
That's Bradley DeMumbra.
Yeah. Everybody else hates me. He may as well, too.
Get in line.
Team equals love, frustration, joy, pain, hope, anguish, expectation, dismay, faith.
Sounds like a Hallmark card.
Fans equal passion. We may not all agree 100%, but we all want the same thing. Yeah, damn sure we don't agree on everything, but we do want the same thing. We want some wins.
Goals.
All we really want is goals.
Goals.
Michael Burke, hoping the new signing will be suited to us being forced wide all the time. Valesky not suited to balls in from a wide position. I think that's true. I think
Valesky needs the ball to his feet through the middle.
And yep. He needs to get a couple dribbles going forward. I agree.
And you know,
Milan coming back, put that big old head up there. Maybe we can get some crosses working.
So Jackson, the one thing that he had a bad leg injury last year, I think it was. So he's been kind of out for a while. But everything that we've heard from Oklahoma City fans, from what we've read online, fast, service from wide, gets there.
He's not got, apparently, I talked to a guy, he played at Charlotte the year before. Talked to a guy from Charlotte, says he's got the first touch of a baby elephant. But he is.
That's encouraging.
I thought
he's like, Tabo.
We've got a black Seth Rudolph.
There we go.
But
oh, don't be mean. Don't be mean to Seth. Everybody loves Seth.
I spoke to Kevin Eaton, who was the reckless challenge guy for Oklahoma City Energy. I said, you know, what do you make of this guy? He's like, good player, speedy, pacey.
Maybe he just needs a new environment. Same way
he was injured, but apparently the grid are not happy about what's happened. Yeah. They're not thrilled with this.
To be fair, they're getting a player from the worst team in the league, so they're
to go with their other three.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ryan Grass, the most promising start we've had yet, up in flames already. I can't even begin to fathom how this has happened. Yeah, you and me both, Ryan.
We just spent an hour and a half talking about it, Ryan.
We agree wholeheartedly.
Keep carrying that flag, Ryan.
That's
right. Run with it around the... Well, he's not to run with it for 500 minutes.
Yeah. DKG, the team looks lost. They allow early goal after game after game after game. And they have no clue how to respond when down. No fight. It would be hard for me to argue with that. Nick, I'm used to the Blues disappointing me every year, but
Blues make the playoffs.
But I still watch.
For a long time, they did not.
Because I love the team and the game. It's the same for St. Louis FC.
St. Louis made the playoffs, what, 20-odd years running?
Yeah.
And didn't win shit. They didn't make the playoffs for a long time.
But imagine they didn't make the playoffs. We can't really complain. It's only been 3 years. We should...
I was going to say, they had a much longer streak of not making the playoffs in there.
No, the Blues are disappointing, and we have a lot of overlapping fans, and I hear that refrain quite often. No, I'm used to this. I'm a Blues fan.
Try being a Newcastle fan in there, too. I am a trilogy of shit.
Can we name this podcast Trilogy of Shit?
I applaud that.
Mitch Maurice, Trilogy of Shit. Nick, we agree with you. And Mitch one-ups you with being a trilogy of shit. Edward Cullen, you keep stressing beat the weak and hang with the top for success. That's what's happening. Other teams see us as the weak. We must win matches.
Yeah, we're absolutely true. Points.
We are cannon fodder.
We are the easy 3 points.
We are cannon fodder.
And there has been a point in every season up to now that I've said, oh, yeah, we're that team.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
You know what?
3 years in a row, we're that team.
New job or new record and getting there quickest.
You know what? We're looking at, all right, we're playing Charleston and Louisville.
They're chalking up 3 points.
Yeah, and then we play Richmond. Don't think for a minute Richmond aren't looking at us going, you know what?
We could take them.
We can turn our season around there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Jesus.
Oh, they can't wait to play us.
Trilogy of shit.
Dan Baba Yaga. It'll be Dan Doak this time. No place to go. Players have what exactly to play for. No MLS affiliate to get promoted to, no higher club, no motivation for improvement. Dan, you're wrong there.
Because you know what? Louisville doesn't have a...
Well, and
Cincinnati
and,
doesn't.
And people... We've had a couple people talk about the Fire affiliation on the Facebook page this week. I don't think people understood how that affiliation works. First of all, Dan, if they're USL players on an independent team, even if there's an affiliate, they can't just get called up.
Yeah.
Trust me. Every MLS scout in the country right now watches USL games. They're looking for talented players. These guys should be playing for their future career. If they want to go up, you know, if they're a younger player or if they're a guy who's had time in MLS and wants to go back up, they should be playing their ass off. Affiliation makes no difference whatsoever. And the other people that said we're not getting the resources from an MLS team like the affiliates are, Chicago Fire didn't give us anything. They gave us a couple players. We could send players up to train and work out with them in the off season, but there's no bonus to it. Different teams do more. New York City FC does absolutely nothing for San Antonio FC. They don't even give them players. I don't think they've sent down a player yet this year, have they?
They don't need them.
Well, that's a good point. Dan, you're the first one I'm going to disagree with on the rants. You're not allowed to have that rant. Matt Johnson, it's not worth winning if you can't win big. All I want to see is some heart and effort.
I'll take winning big.
I'll take winning anyway.
Yep.
I'll win little. Chris Freeman, not surprised that 25 guys who met each other for the first time 4 or 5 months ago can't get it sorted.
Tulsa have done it, though.
This was a total rebuild.
Tulsa have done it. If you look down I-44, they've done it. So why can't we?
Yeah. His second tweet, again, he's a cheater. But we'll let him have another one, Chris Freeman. Mm-hmm. Also, we do not have one player that will take someone on one-on-one.
Absolutely.
As soon as we meet resistance, the ball goes backwards.
Absolutely.
He's
10-4.
1,000% right about that.
We've been saying that.
Does my head in. Because
Dalgard's been saying this for weeks.
Dalgard's got the talent to take a guy on. I don't mind if you lose the ball. Have a go.
Yep. Especially,
I've got to say, the last two games Sheldon's been playing, Sheldon Sheldon looks to get forward.
Yeah, I agree.
And
the other thing I've noticed too, and I'm not saying it wasn't happening before, but I have noticed that when that happens, when somebody gets stuck, I'm seeing somebody like Dragon come over, and instead of coming over backwards, he's coming over forwards. And it's minute. It's a little thing, but it's an option. Unfortunately, we've been a step or two behind. That's been one of the things, is that you can see they're thinking backwards, and then they're like, oh, shit, he's there. I can go. Too late.
Yeah, I agree with him in that point, in the fact that the confidence is low. They don't have the confidence to take a guy on right now.
They need to.
Amelia Perez, again, she cheated.
Three times.
I think this was just two.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm watching the Blues at the end of Hitch's reign. No cohesiveness. Players seem easily defeated. Start with the locker room issue? ? I don't know. I don't know if it's...
I don't know what's going on in
could
the locker
be.
Room.
Your guess is as good as ours, Amelia. Maybe you're right.
Again, end of Hitch's reign. The Blues were in the playoffs.
Zoran, he wants to know, or he says, so much for attacking football. Our entire game revolves around sending the ball into the box where none of our players ever find it boring.
Yep.
There's a lot of truth said there, Zoran.
Yeah. I mean, Kristen, as we just discussed, Valeska needs the ball played to his feet.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
Nope. Okay, that's the end of our rants.
Thank God.
Good rants, guys. Good rants.
They were good rants. I like the rants.
I don't want to do it again, though, ever.
No, hey, we got it all out of our system there. Now we're going to start winning. And
we'll have a cheers line next.
Yeah, next we'll have it, what we're grateful for.
Yep.
I want to mention the St. Louis Cardinals have reached out to us.
Yeah.
And just like they did last year, they had a soccer-themed night. And last year they gave away a nice St. Louis Cardinals scarf.
Which was nice, yeah.
It was a nice scarf. I liked it. Very reminiscent of Croatia with the little checkerboard there.
Yeah.
And a Bosnian
town. They should have thought about that. But this year they're doing a soccer jersey. It's the, what would the Cardinals jersey look like if
kind
they were a soccer
PSG
team?
PSG looking
it,
shirt.
It's a little Olympic Lyonnaise. It's a little PSG. It's definitely Ligue 1.
Yeah. It's white with a red and blue stripe down the middle.
Yes.
With the Cardinals logo in the middle like a sponsor, so to speak.
And so their Cardinal theme night, if you buy tickets for the theme night, you get one of those jerseys. But they reached out to us, and they've given us four tickets to give away. And we were going to do two and two, but I think this time we're going to do all four tickets. So that way, if you've got a couple kids, you can take the kids, or maybe you and...
three Lulligans?
Three buddies, or you and a girlfriend and a double date, or your wife and your mistress, however it works in your family.
Multiple wives,
whatever.
If you're Mormon.
Hey, no judgment. But we're trying to figure out a way to do this, but I think what we're going to do... What? I think what we're going to do is we want people to follow us on all social media. So... I think sometime, let's say Thursday, because tomorrow we'll be talking about the podcast, and let's say Thursday. Throughout the day, the St. Lulligan's Facebook page, the public page, the St. Lulligan's Twitter account, the This Is Silly Twitter account, and the St. Lulligan's Instagram page, we will each post a code word, and to win the tickets, we will have you email after the fourth code word is posted. All four code words. How about we send them direct message to any of those sources?
Yep.
You can send it to a Facebook direct message, Instagram or Twitter direct message to any of those four accounts with all four code words.
And the winner has to actually follow.
And we'll look. We'll see if you follow all four of those outlets. And the winner will get four tickets to the game. We will pick a winner at random from all the correct answers we receive. Let's say Thursday night at 7 p.m., and we'll announce the winner.
How about Friday morning? We'll do it.
Friday morning.
Just in case you work late.
Sure. Friday morning, we'll announce the winner. So you have, let's say, Thursday until midnight to submit them all. And Friday morning, we will simultaneously announce it on all four platforms.
Yes.
It will be amazing. And you'll win four tickets, which includes four jerseys. So...
If you want to throw one of those jerseys our way, that'd be nice. But if you don't, I understand.
Yeah, if you want to get a couple big ones for us.
I don't think they have big ones.
Oh, okay. Well,
they have bird size, but not Mitch size.
So we will post something tomorrow night to let you know. But Thursday, this will be going on.
We'll get to bird size and Mitch size, because I want to let Pat Ryan know that we're his friends.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Because he won the Mission Taco Lunch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, congratulations, Pat Ryan.
We're your friends,
Pat. He won a party for 30.
I know. He says he's going to do it for the warehouse guys at his work.
That's cool.
Because he works from home. I said I work from home, and I think it should be all the people that work from home that have to.
That would have been kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
A work from home party.
Yeah.
I am disappointed, Pat.
But 30, a lunch for 30 at Mission Taco. How great is that? Oh, and I want to give
Let's be honest, I could probably eat 15 people's
worth.
That's
right. Let's give a huge shout out to Mission Taco. Our last,
hell yeah.
Last watch party, they provided us with a chips and salsa table.
That was awesome. That
and,
made things a little bit, well.
It did. I mean, free chips and salsa doesn't.
It was exciting before the game started.
Doesn't make up for a loss, but
it was
nice.
It was a lot of misery eating.
It was nice.
And I got my street corn.
And then people went and got street corn and tacos and burritos, and it was all wonderful.
I almost ate two things of street corn.
Thank you very much, Mission Taco. And thank you, ITAP, for hosting our watch parties. But we got a couple of home games in a row now. We are...
It's back home.
It's back on. Matt Bird has declared it is back on.
Does that go hand in hand with the earliest that we say it's over?
Oh, my God. Everything is coming up roses. We got a new puppy, and Matt Bird has declared it is back on.
I'm saying it satirically.
No, I can feel it. Yeah. I can feel it.
I'm good with it.
We have... Cardinals tickets to give away on Thursday. You'll listen to this podcast tomorrow. You'll buy your tickets for the Charleston game. We're going to have some fun. We're going to raise some money for colon cancer.
Lots of money.
We're going to have hot dogs at the tailgate. We're going to drink beer or water if you're so inclined. And we were going to have fun. We're going to have fun
regardless.
We're going to win.
But we're going to win, baby.
We're going to win.
You guys have anything else? I have one more thing I want to say, but I want it to be.
I think you're both high, but that's okay.
I wish.
Because, you know.
Boy,
what?
That would make this trifecta
because,
of shit awesome.
Because.
Trilogy.
Trilogy, sorry.
Saturday's gone. We can't do nothing about it. We're heading up to the weekend. You get that little tingle in your loins about the game. You're like,
I'm still
right,
excited
go.
To go. Yeah. I'll be there.
Oh, you know what? That's the thing. It's like, you know.
Before every game, I've got this. All right, this is the week.
And it's Matt Bird's birthday. Or Matt Brown's birthday. Sorry.
Matt Brown's birthday.
So we're going to get him good and trashed.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to have Aaron put down the tarps down here for when he throws up.
That's right. I just want to end with one more thing. Happy birthday, Megan. Out.